Hello, podcast family. My name is Duncan Masiwa, and welcome to our special podcast series where the wisdom of seasoned farmers and mentors meets the needs and enthusiasm of new era farmers. Now, in this episode, we delve into the inspiring journey of Kinelwe Rapesu, CEO of Mogalemone and KR Farming Enterprise. She took over her father's farm in 2020 and expanded their farming business in Vereniging Gauteng in a way that would make any father proud. And despite recent setbacks, this award-winning farmer remains resilient and shares with us her story of bouncing back one day at a time. She also shares how farmers from all corners of the country are calling her for agri-advice, which has led to her founding her very own agricultural consulting enterprise. Kinelwe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, it's great to finally have the conversation with you. You know, we've been following your journey since you started. You're one of those farmers that is quite well known within the agricultural space. Every now and then you are flown across the country, across the continent to either go and speak or do consulting work. So I'm quite excited to, you know, to first of all get a better understanding of your journey into agriculture, but also hopefully, you know, after this conversation, whoever is listening to it, that they can somehow be inspired by, you know, some of the business strategies that you've implemented on your farm and how you approach farming. You've probably told this story 1,000 times, I know, but briefly tell me, how did you get into farming?
I got into farming because of my dad. My dad has been a farmer for more than 2 decades now, and he got the farm from the Department of Agriculture. And every now and then when you go to the meeting, you have the check of NAFI, it's an African Farmers Union. So when you go to the business meeting, he would go with me. When you go to auctions, buy animals, buy eBay. And we had a first farm service of agriculture department. And when we went to that farm, it was a joint venture with other business partners. I'd go to me, you know, how he operates and whatnot. Let me tell you that by that time, I had no business at all. I just thought so big about just to meet some class to me. But because my other mother trained in really about an hour ago. And as time went by, I started looking at how things are operating in a different perspective. And I said, this is like, not only money, but just like can you something to venture into, where you look at the missing part of the agricultural sector that I've been working involved with it. Today, we undermine that. I saw that we undermine agriculture for you, but especially a lot of you that are not part of the agricultural sector. And I thought that missing part, especially having women in the livestock sector, whereby many women don't even want to be careful. But like a 30th name, this is not only a challenge, but I'm passionate about this. I love this. I want to grow from it. That's when I started. Coming with my father from the age of 18, I started to get knowledge from him how to plant, how to do livestock management, all of the things that I needed to know. And then when it comes to breeding, I'm like, no, I need to add my knowledge to this. That's when I joined with Daphne Enterprises, and I started knowing from Daphne. I did a course with them, that's when I learned about this breeding, mixed classification, after management, nutrition, and feeding, and that's when I developed that a lot of the biological on that with.
Wow.
But then it took us.
That's absolutely amazing. Not a lot of people know that you actually assumed control of the farm at a very young age. How was the welcoming to the agricultural sector at the time?
It was a challenge. It was very challenging, especially being in an industry that is mainly located. And we look at our degree work, but our white. So we get into that sector whereby the meetings were so loud by that, we started to stand back and say, I'm giving you this test to always do what you need to be. And you have to go out there, show your potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know your potential, but they don't. So now we get the job with missing short girl, hadn't shot me at idea that thing, but it came to work and I know what I'm doing. And then when I got into the field, a piece of fire, like, well, this is amazing. How did you learn? Now everybody's interested, you know, and they want to know more. The welcoming at first was a bit, it was not that good. There was a lot of discrimination and undermining.
Mm.
You know, and you get who are traditional will tell you that a woman is not allowed to get inside a house.
So
that's not gonna work. That's not gonna work at all, not with me. But now I'm on a thick skin in this industry where I can
It's quite amazing, you know, that, you know, even though having such a rough start within the agricultural space, you are today known as an award-winning farmer. And I mean, look where you are today. So I think it speaks of your determination and resilience within the agricultural sector. Describe us quickly, you know, the size and the scale of your farming operation and also the business profile as a whole. What exactly do you farm?
The farm is 405 hectares. And it's a mixed farming operation where I do both grain and livestock. Grain, we focus on soybean and maize. Livestock, the piggery was there, but we suffered a lot from the piggery and we keep cattle. So my life is most of the time where when it comes to the grain, I would need some for myself to make my own feed. The rest I would take to end it. And then when it comes to livestock, it was auction. It was other tools and pickup as well, and private sales as well.
You know, wait, you're talking in past tense. What happened there?
I'm talking in past tense because I suffered a great loss due to the livestock sector during the load shedding. And when we were anguished, it was last year in November, especially on cattle, I lost more than 40 cattle. And that affected everything, literally everything, and from supplying markers, having a steady cash flow, paying employees, and managing the business overall. So the business has suffered a lot, whereby to pick up is being very crucial, and it takes a lot, you know, having to defend and strategies how to implement and how to bring it back the what was lost. And then when you try to find help from financial institutions or get investment, the first question is, what about security?
So,
we can even have insurance, but at the end of the day, to lend cannibals and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it is not, I cannot control the state. Mm. You know, if I even had a firearm, I cannot control it at all. Because when this is coming in, we don't have to save one person to come to the farm. You know, they know how they deal with this thing. You can even change your stuff. You know, changing your stuff after every shift or after whatever problem that you face, it's not also good for the business. You cannot have people coming in and out, you know. That's when we got to question your management skills.
Yeah.
So every now and then it causes a problem. So that's why it begins with it. Because that business has suffered a lot due to it. It has suffered a lot due to the rain that we got, I think, was a lot yesterday early. That's when most of the peak clouds, because it was flooding in our area. And you know how peak infrastructures are, they are also on the side. So it's not easy for water to come in and out of the peak, let's just take the back on the water.
Sure. What goes to the mind of a farmer that is known to be an award-winning farmer? Everyone is looking to you as this big inspiration. And all of a sudden, you suffer this major loss. What's going through your mind?
Heart attack.
Sure.
Heart attack. Because there's so many people relying on you. Not only the market, but those who are able you to feed them. Now, you also can meet your own basic needs. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, it was as much as we suffered a great loss, it was me by my dad because of that. And he stepped back, let's get out of this business for a while and recoup. For me, was all about finding strategies, finding help, because I cannot let go of this. You know, we even thought of maybe let's leave this livestock thing alone, because, you know, our area, most families suffered a great loss due to it. I think we were targeted at the very same time.
Yeah.
And my father was like, no, let's just focus on grain, let's leave livestock. I'm like, well, the grain is going to be difficult, especially when it comes to cash flow and having a steady income. Mm-hmm. Now we plant in October, you're going to have it. In another 6 or 8 months, we raise the money going to come during that period. And that, so let's rather keep a small amount of that stock that we are going to push to the market. Once the income comes again, we buy, you know, we're working on a bit of buying and selling, instead of breeding. Now, because most of the stuff was trading stock and I lost thousands over $1 million because of the stock, you understand? Whatever that you mean, I'm making sure that it's 100% secured at the very same time. And like I said, I do not want control over certain things. You can put in the necessary management. You can put in the necessary things to make sure that you run away from safety, right? At the end of the day, the cameras that can be cut off, can be stolen, the solar panels are being stolen. When you try to run away from this electricity issue, you have all the measurements in control, you lock, there's no duplicate of keys, you keep the keys to yourself, still be still. So how do I control that?
So
by that time, what I was going to remind was like, we need to survive. I cannot let go of my employees where are they going to find jobs.
Yeah.
Already we're dealing with, you know, a high rate of unemployment. So I cannot let go of them. So we need to find ways to make it work.
Yeah, it cannot be easy having to go through that because you've got all these people depending on you. Like you mentioned, you've got the markets, you've got the workers and an entire community oftentimes depending on success of your business.
I had to let go of certain markets, you know. There were farmers that I could connect to that market to say I had a market that every now and then they come and take that management cattle for me. Now, if you've got the quantity and the quality, please step in on my behalf, find a contract with them and see how you put through. So it is that I know that I'm only worrying about my employees, not the whole community at all. I'm taking it one step at a time currently.
I remember that in terms of breeds, you focused on Simmental and Bonsmara cat. You know, just listening to the conversation, I'm wondering how has your strategies changed, you know, as a result of that loss that you suffered? How has it changed since then? You know, did you have to now look at things in a different way? What were some of the things that you had to take a different approach on?
Focusing on one breed and not the other. So for me, when it comes to Simmental and Bonsmara, we chose the Bonsmara because for all, you know, it's adaptability, fertility, and meat quality. And there were certain management practices that I had to tailor in order to accommodate the Bonsmara. So it was easy to work with, actually. When it comes to birthing, it's easy. And when it comes to breeding it, nutrition and posture management with it, and the health and disease prevention, it has been quite easy for me. So I had to focus on only one breed. You know, it was easy for me to measure. And so if I had to focus on both, it was going to be a lot. So I chose one breed to focus on it and continue working with it.
I understand that you also incorporate yellow maize into the animals' diets. Is that still the case?
Yes.
Take us through that. Why is that?
Well, you know what? Maize is a common factor in many livestock operations, right? But at the very same time, why yellow maize? Because it is a nutrition factor for us. And planting maize helps us not to go and buy because, you know, these feed are quite expensive. It helps with saving a lot of money. When we plant maize, we need to be, actually, when we put yellow maize specifically into our feed, the such measures that we need to be considered, especially to ensure the health and safety of our animals. For me, it has to be, you start by gradually introducing the maize to the animal to allow that digestive system to, because fighting changes in the diet can lead to an upset digestive metabolic disturbance. So slowly incorporating the maize into the ratio over several days a week has helped. So it also helps with the balanced nutrition, you know. Mm. You know, maize is a high value of energy for livestock, but it should be part of the balanced diet that may include other nutrients such as protein, vitamins, and minerals, and ensure that the maize is being supplemented with other feed ingredients to meet the nutritional requirements.
And on your pocket, does it save any money?
Yes, it does. It's because after harvesting maize, the amount of maize that I keep or the amount of tonnage that I keep can last me for over a year.
Oh, wow.
And I also plant my own grass. So it's easy for me to make feed on the farm. Instead of buying, when you look at the amount that you spend the whole year and what you can produce on your own farm, you realize that you've saved quite a lot of money. We're currently going through drought, and I think I'm one of the few who can say, before I'm a cattle farmer, I'm not a grass farmer because I planted my own grass.
Sure.
I don't have to struggle to say, we need feed. I just do rotation, grazing rotation, let's say, this month is focusing on this camp, next month is focusing on that. I wouldn't say it's affecting me that much. It's only like the drought is affecting me on May, but when it comes to the grazing part, my cattle are sorted.
That's great to hear. Which brings me to, you know, management practices when it comes to any advice that you can share with farmers that are interested in raising this specific cattle breed.
Some of the thing is, with the Bosmara, we need to look at healthcare and disease prevention. Implementing a proactive healthcare program is very essential for preventing diseases and maintaining a healthy herd. This includes your vaccination, deworming, parasite control, and your routine examination. Monitoring the cattle is a sign of illness, and promptly treating any health issues is very critical to minimize production loss and ensuring a more healthy. Because now we also need to consider where you buy your animals. I don't buy my animals just everywhere, because there are certain areas that are affected with hot water, red water, and certain areas that I do not buy from. Because now when they come this side, it's not easy for them to adapt. As much as we've got that adaptability capability, but we need to ensure and be 100% sure where we buy our animals. Secondly, the breeding and production management. The Bosmara is known for its productive efficiency. Proper breeding and reproductive management is essential for maximizing the fertility and calving rate. We do not want to face any mortality at all in farming. This includes your strategic breeding section, synchronizing and of nutrient cycles, and ensuring optimal bull to cow ratio, regularly pregnancy checks, and timely intervention during calving and help minimizing reproduction losses.
Yeah.
And also herd record keeping and performance monitoring. You need to record everything on the farm, keeping detailed records of individual and multiple members from the day they are born or from the day they come to your farm. You include growth rate, weight gain, reproductive history, health status, your bulls for brucellosis, your cattle for brucellosis. You test your cows for TB. And also your environmental management is very important. Providing an adequate shelter, shade, protection, and protection from extreme weather is important to ensure the well-being of the Bosmara. Adequate ventilation in housing facilities, if you're doing in, you don't allow your atmosphere, especially when it comes to pigotic. And access to clean water resources are very essential to minimize stress from the heat,
yeah,
especially right now. And your genetic selection of breeding programs, you need to have the superior genetics we own, including traits such as the adaptability, fertility, and weight quality as well.
It's clear to me that one of the reasons why you are able to survive such a loss, like the kind that you've experienced, is because of your diversified income strategy. Take us through that. How do you decide what to diversify into, what works and what doesn't work?
You can choose a lot. You can diversify into another thing. Now you look at the size of your land. You look at your resources. You look at your capital. You analyze your market. You know your knowledge. And you look at your surroundings. The people you know, if I may say so. When you look at all of those things, they will help you diversify. When you say, I've got land, how do I use this land to my advantage? I cannot just go into cattle just because Kinyere is doing cattle. You know, I love Kinyere, she's doing cattle, I'm going to go into it. Do you have the land? Do you have the resources? Do you have the capital? Do you have the market? Do you have the knowledge when it comes to those things? So now when I look at it, at this thing, I'm like, okay, I've got enough land. Now that most of the cattle is not there, I'm just putting in a small portion. So what can I use it for? Now there's a nearby farmer next to me who's got a lot of animals, over 100. I'm like, okay, I've got grazing. I've already made bills for my cattle for the coming season. Like, there's enough for me. You get into that field with your cattle and then you put money into my pocket. Now I diversified. There's money, there's grazing for these animals as well. We sorted. And then there's KR Farming Enterprise. I do consultation. I register for SARS. I do business plan. It counts. It also helps. It puts money in both businesses. It's also another diversification. To say, okay, now I've got minimum livestock, but how do I make sure that the livestock is, you know, it's going to make money for me? That's when we use a strategy of buying and selling instead of breeding. To say, let's have livestock that we put on the other side where we buy and sell. They come inside, the last 2 weeks, they've been fed for 2 weeks after 2 weeks, they put enough weight, they go to the market, we buy again. So now this keeps on a regular cash flow into the product to manage other things as well.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like these strategies that you've implemented, they sort of help you ensure that you never run out of cash. Tell us a bit about KR Farming Enterprises. You established that, I believe it was 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago, in 2022.
Take us, your consulting business, what is your main focus?
You know, when I thought of KR Farming Enterprises, I was not even taking it seriously. I just wanted to have my own business. I just wanted to have a company that is religious, but I'm divine. I'm like, no, man. Let me, all the knowledge that I have, let me put it to use. And especially when it comes to nutrition, you get a lot of DMs, you get a lot of emails, and people telling you that we are interested in this farming sector. We didn't go to school. We want to start. I'm like, okay, I've got the knowledge, I've got the experience, I've been doing this quite a while. That's when I can step in and help these people. I mentorship, especially students, especially people. It affects me a lot. You know, you get a call from someone who's 6 years and wants to start farming. Like, what were you doing the past few years? When you were still young, when you were still energetic, before you had arthritis, what were you doing?
They're looking at your profile, Kendall, where they are inspired.
Like, no, man, come on. You know, we need to look at the section 10 at the age of 60, not to be starting. So that's when I'm like, okay, this is when KR Farming Enterprise can intersect and help. I've got a degree in economics and business management. That's when I did accounting. I'm like, okay, let's do that. Let's register these people because they know nothing about stuff. Every time you go to the department or whatever, they want a tax clearance certificate. Mm-hmm. They want a register. They want a business plan. They know nothing about. Like, let's go into it. I've got a degree in labor relations and psychology. I'm like, now this labor relations, let's use it for these people today. Let's handle conflict management. Let's create employment contracts. Mm-hmm. Because tomorrow now you get penalized because marks the year. Now, when you're increasing, they take you to CCMA for uncertainties and whatnot. There's no contract to prove that you're employed. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't pay attention to that are, we are neglecting them, that are affecting our businesses. So that this is the missing gap, let me enter. Business plans we provide, mentorship is there, business registration, sales of animals, you need an animal for funeral or whatever, and then unit management on your farm, the development on your farm, and there.
Yeah.
That's the baby, that's the focus on KR Farming Enterprises.
And I suppose who better than, you know, someone who is an actual farmer that has gone through all those processes to be able to provide advice to those people that DM you. And hopefully the people that DM you are people that are willing to pay, not people that are looking for a free ride.
That's the problem. People are like, no, man, I don't have the money. But this is a business. It has to make money. It has to make profits, you know. And if there's a DM, like, I need help. I'm like, okay, this is the consultation fee. Like, we cannot open my, but care for me to pass. It's a business. You need to understand it, you know. So I cannot say just because you DM'd me, now it has to be a free consultation. So I don't even answer the DMs anymore because what other people are paying for, you want to know the knowledge for free. You understand?
Yeah.
So it's a bit unfair on the business and it's unfair on other people.
Definitely. Having a diversified profile like yours, there's a lot of money that goes into that. What is your financial management and budgeting approach? Maybe just give us a brief indication on how you approach finances when it comes to your business.
When it comes to finance, you always have, you name all these struggles. Now you get clients who don't pay on time. You get people who want credit. And it messes up the business. And from my side, I need to put in a lot of money in order for this business to finding I need to invest in them before they can pick up, before they can make money from themselves. The money has to come out of my pocket. So I think having a proper budget, you can work for me, because at the very same time, the people who need some development, I'm saying, okay, that's when I need to charge you, because I cannot take out my own payroll and come all the way from housing to free state. Understand? So you need to pay for those, because at the end of the day, it will be a traveling expense from my own pocket. And that's what we are getting the business. So having a proper management plan and a proper budgeting plan to say, this is how I'm going to run my business, is I'm going to work on a cash basis or an accrual basis, which I use both systems. There's certain things that I need cash, you know, for. I cannot work without it. There's a point when I use an accrual basis to say, okay, it's fine. It will be recorded under your credit or debit, and then you will pay it in installment or whatever way that you can. Mm-hmm. But we need to agree on a certain date the money has to be in. And most of the time, because, you know, people are not trustworthy when it comes to the especially when they know the strategic advantage. Mm-hmm. So everything works on a deposit basis. You put in the deposit, I work. Now, if you want your business plan in 2 weeks' time, before I hand you the business plan, you must give me the remaining amount. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I keep it to me.
Keep it moving. Tadella, you haven't been in the industry for very long. You haven't been in the agriculture sector for very long. But you have experienced a lot. You have gone through a lot, ups and downs. You've probably seen it all. What does the next 10 years look like for you without giving too much away?
The next 10 years must smell like many things. It must look like success. It must be lost and growth. You know, I need to be on a higher scale. I need to be international. I need to be trading internationally, working internationally in the next 10 years. You know, I cannot be here anymore. You struggle to get in for a year, now you're going to need to help me in 10 years to get in. So the next thing was for me is running on a bigger scale, being able to reduce employ more than 250 people. Mm. You know, it can open down the cost sector, be able to train students, having an accredited business as well to provide training. We need the training, honestly, because at the end of the day, not every institution or every university that provides agriculture as a course, and some of them they are privately owned, but not everyone has the money to pay. And if not everybody can secure the budget and not the financial to go to school. So we need to have an accredited business. So they need to be accredited. Let's provide training to these people that help them where we can act as a workhouse or even collaborate with, you know, you guys. Sometimes we collaborate with the department to say this is what we can offer us, bring students and you what to do upon your side. Mm-hmm. Let's teach these people really because we need senior out in the agricultural sector. There is a lot of potential on it.
On that note, what is the one piece of advice that you can offer to that farmer that is listening to this episode right now and they are inspired by our story? What do you have for them?
I always say you can never say the name of our piece without a great piece. We're talking about passion. We're talking about persistence. We're talking about patience. You need to be passionate to run the business that you want, to add the knowledge that you want. With agriculture, there's a lot of, you need the persistence. Through all the troubles, through all the tribulations that you couldn't say, be persistent to say, I will continue. That's where we fall into diversification to say, with this one, saying, okay, we don't give up, we go to another. Be patient, the wrong is not broken in one day. Only we plant today, we harvest, I don't know, in around 6 to 8 months. Mm. And we'll give birth in 3 months, in 3 to 6 months. 6 months, they take the shit, and it's taking you wait the whole night, but, right? It needs the patience, you need to learn, you know your story, or research, do whatever it takes. Attend the food from the farmers, young, or yes, for others, youth in Ghana, so that you can learn, you can network, get the knowledge, you know about the resources that are available, who can offer you the capital, who can help you. This is our reason why you need to take advantage of everything that's being provided to you. Instead of spending that money on Instagram and following it, the funny thing you learn, you use some of your budget to Google this thing, get the knowledge, you know, it is very much necessary.
What an inspiring farmer with a remarkable story to tell. Now, farmers are increasingly considering the Bonsmara cattle breed for several reasons, and aspiring Bonsmara cattle breed owners want in on the secret. So let's find out. We ask Canelo Rapeso, what sets the Bonsmara breed apart from your average cattle breed? And here's her response.
Well, I do believe that each and every breed has got its own qualities. But when I chose the Bosmara, what set it apart is that it has got excellent mothering abilities. It copes well under all environmental conditions. For instance, right now we're facing drought and they're adapting quite well. And an animal that adapts very well in any environmental condition is the reason for their popularity. Bosmara demonstrate economical importance traits such as the fertility, their growth ability, and exceptional carcasses. I mean to beef, so therefore I need an animal that will produce the best quality of beef. So for me, it was either Bosmara or Beefmaster, and I fell in love with the Bosmara. So the Bosmara for me, it was the one, and it has a unique method of scale, you know. So I think the Bosmara stands out when it comes to its quality, its mothering abilities, its skin adaptability and all that. So that's why I chose the Bosmara.
Well, there you have it. Join us again next time when we meet another seasoned steward of the earth, ready to guide the next generation of farmers. Don't miss out on the exclusive article covering this episode, so make sure you visit www.foodformzanzi.co.za. To our amazing audience of farmers and agriculture enthusiasts, thank you for joining us. And remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vind, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, may your fields be fertile and your harvests bountiful. Bye-bye.